many, many years ago, Master wrote one of the most tremendous poems. He developed it in front of a large audience. It just came to him. And so he said it as the words were given to him. And it made a tremendous impression on all those who were present. He entitled it, God, God, God. But later, he replaced this with God, Christ, Guru, because he realized that the disciples who followed him, so that they might find their oneness with God, related in the Western world with the Christ consciousness. And he accepted this relationship as no one I had ever met before in my life, because it was through the lips of my blessed Master, through his own exemplary life, that I too found the Christ within myself. And I would like to read that to you this morning. From the depths of slumber, as I ascend the spiral stairways of wakefulness, I will whisper, God, Christ, Guru, thou art the food, and when I break my fast of nightly separation from thee, I will taste thee and mentally say, God, Christ, Guru. No matter where I go, the spotlight of my mind will keep ever turning on thee. And in the babbled din of activity, my silent war cry will be, God, Christ, Guru. When boisterous storms of trial shriek, and when worries howl at me, I will drown their clamor, loudly chanting, God, Christ, Guru. When my mind weaves dreams with threads of memories, then on that magic cloth will I emboss, God, Christ, Guru. Each night in time of deepest sleep, my peace dreams and calls, joy, joy, joy. And my joy comes singing evermore, God, Christ, Guru. In waking, eating, working, dreaming, sleeping, serving, meditating, chanting, divinely loving, my soul will constantly hum, unheard by any, God, Christ, Guru. And then he wrote a prayer for his disciples. It is a prayer, word for word, which says that which I would say to you and which I would say to God. Father, thou art the only king sitting on the throne of my desire. All those that come to me, bless them. My only desire for them is the gift of thy love. My one thought is to place thee upon the throne of their hearts. Thou art my life, my love, my everything. I pledge my unconditional loyalty to thee. May thy love shine forever on me, and may I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Whereas thou hast given to me the will, strength, and power to bring other souls back to thy grace, souls who have wandered, brothers and sisters who have strayed on the pathway of incarnations, make me the transparent medium through which thy light may shine into their hearts, dispelling the darkness forevermore. May I remember always, not myself, but thee. Father, mother, friend, beloved God, I thank thee from my inmost heart that thou hast graced my life with thine omnipresence. Help me to spread thy message. I want to extol not myself, but thee. May thou be the speaker through my voice. May my will always express thy will. Be thou the only desire back of all my desires. Father, mother, friend, beloved God, unite all our thoughts at a greater altar, where thine omnipresence may shine forth. Thou wilt not cast us away. Remember us, though we remember thee not. Be not indifferent to us, though we have been indifferent to thee. Place in our minds and hearts the all-important truth that thou art the goal we are seeking. Our loyalty to thee may come and go, but remain now in our hearts forever. Father, mother, friend, beloved God, receive the unctuous fervor of my soul. Many times has the song of the nightingale of sense pleasures lured away my love from thee. Thou hast ever blessed me by granting to me all my prayers. In this closing chapter of my life, may thou be the one life guiding me, giving me only the desire to place thee in the hearts of the devotees whom thou hast sent me. be that thy greatest blessing, that they may be with thee constantly, in the wakeful hours and in time of sleep and dreams, with thee ever through eternity, and feeling thy presence in this dream of incarnation. May thou be the only king reigning in their hearts. O my love, O my devotion, O my loyalty, I pour at thy feet, O Lord. For I see the dreams of this life have all passed, and thou art forever my beloved. May I place that love in the hearts of those here, that they may see thy presence behind the delusion of this life. Thou art the immortal shelter. Forsake us not, though we have sought the desires and ambitions of this life. These are all thy tests to bring us at last to thy feet. Why do not these thy devotees realize that thou art testing us through trivial perceptions, moods, and habits of incarnations? Protect us from ourselves. Test us with delusion, with punishment, if it is thy will. But let us never be oblivious to thy presence. Father, receive the unctuous fervor of my soul. What words shall I speak in the sincerity of my heart? The greatest gift I have to give to those that I love, thy devotees, is that I may place thy love in the hearts of all for thy love's sake. Father, mother, friend, beloved God, no more with words will I pray, but with my heart, with the fervor of my intuition, for I know that thou art listening to my voice of prayer and to every call of my soul. Receive the fervent devotion of our hearts, no more with mere words and fragments of sincerity, but from the depths of our yearning souls, we offer our loyalty to thee. In health or sickness, in wealth or poverty, in security or disaster, in delusion or attunement, in life or death, we stand before the altar of our love, unconditionally loving thee alone, forever and forever and forever. I think that that is an absolutely powerful prayer for every one of us, the disciples of the Lord. And it is my prayer for each and every one of you. Truly, this is the greatest gift I can give you. And that is the gift of the love of God that flows in my heart. It is the understanding of His infinite and eternal love, which is within you, if you will only open your heart and your mind to receive it. Now, Thursday is Thanksgiving, so I have chosen for the Bible verse this morning, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. We have set in this nation a day aside for thanksgiving to the Lord. The people who founded this nation, who were the first from the foreign lands to put their feet on this nation, as far as our knowledge of history is concerned, went through many trials, many privations, and through all that they came through, God was good to them. And so because of the eternal goodness of God which they had experienced in their lives and in their hearts, they offered up prayers of thanks to Him. And they set aside one day especially on which they might give thanksgiving to God for all that He had done for them. As it is with every holiday, even with Christmas, with Easter. We, as a material nation, and this is true practically all over the world, have come to take these special days that are set aside for thanksgiving and worship of God as a means for getting together socially, for eating huge quantities of turkey, of meat, of sweets, of all the good things that the Lord has provided for us. We have forgotten the inner meaning, the reason for these special days which are set aside. And yet we should not have to set aside any special day, because every day is special in the Lord. There is not a day of our lives that goes by but what we have some reason for thanking Him for His great generosity to us. Many times we think this is not so, because some days bring forth great trials and tribulations. I know that they have to a great measure in my own life. But for these special days, I give special thanks to God, because these special trials, these special tribulations, the sorrow, the suffering which I have endured, have been the periods of my growth in God. They have given me riches. They have given me goodness. They have broaden my consciousness in ways that I can never begin to tell you. It is easy to thank God for the good things which come to us, because this makes our little human ego feel very comfortable and at peace with itself. But you know, even when it does, sometimes we don't lift our eyes in thanksgiving to God. We forget about Him eternally. Always when we are in trouble, we lift our eyes and we pray to Him, Father, give me this. Father, make this possible. Father, do this for me. And then when He brings it to pass, do we ever sometimes even lift our eyes to Him in thanksgiving for what He has given us? Above all, the greatest gift that He has given is the gift of life, the gift of human life. Some people come to the point where they say, what is this life anyway? It is nothing but sorrow and trouble. I wish I were well out of it. These are those who lack fully understanding of the meaning of life. There was a man once who went to a minister, and he said, I would like to tell you a story about a wonderful Christian woman. And immediately the minister pricked up his ears, because he thought, well, this is going to be an adventure in God now. Another miracle has happened. So the man proceeded to tell him of this outstanding Christian woman who had never felt any travail in her heart, nor experienced any great drastic suffering in her life. And no matter what happened to any of the members of her family or any of her friends or the community or the world, she had been able to keep her peace. And the man said, certainly she deserved special mention, and would the minister please write a story about her? And he said, I'm sorry, but I don't believe she is a Christian. And immediately the man branded the minister as a heretic and an infidel. What did he expect of a Christian? He said, do you not remember the life of Christ? He said, I do. And the minister said, it is obvious that you are not the one who remembers the true life of the Christ. Was he a man who lived always in peace and harmony? He was the greatest fighter this world has ever known. He didn't sit quietly while the rest of the world stood still. He got out and he fought evil. He put himself in the midst of circumstances which certainly weren't easy. He fought the money changers in the temple. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He had discussions with the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of them were against him. He truly went the way of the cross and the Christ. And that way is never a simple one. He said to him, you will remember what the Christ said, that he among you who will not pick up your cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now the cross which he spoke of, which this is this cross of the body, because as I stand before you with my feet together and my arms outstretched, I am in the form of a cross. This is my church. This is my cross. This is my house. This is my tree. This is the temple in which dwells the living God, as Christ himself said. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? It is God, your real self, who dwells in this temple. And wherever you go, you may worship him in this, your church. Because this is your church. But you will remember that Christ was born the Son of Man. He had all of the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the sorrows, the disappointments, the joys, the upliftment that you and I as human beings experience in our lives, because he was the Son of Man. I didn't say this. It's not original with me. It says so in the Christian scriptures. And it was not until he became the Christed One, the glorious Son of God, through the crucifixion of the forces of good and evil within himself, that he rose above this. Now the human ego, you would say, is something to be gotten rid of. That perhaps if you give thanksgiving for every wound that you have received inwardly and on your body, that this is a sense of perversion. I say it is not. It is a sense of the reality of things. Because the people who profess to be Christians have not taken into consideration the difference between Jesus, the Son of Man, the Savior of Man, who goes through all of these conflicts within us, and that Christ One. They are not willing to be a part of this conflict. To me, life is exciting. Everything that I meet that is an obstacle in my path is a challenge. It is something which I, as a fighter for God, a devotee of God, meet with great joy and enthusiasm, because I ask him for the power of God within me and without me to conquer it, to overcome it. And each time I am able to do this, I grow a little in my understanding, in my realization of the tremendous universal God, wherein the Christ is present in every atom of space and in every form which walks this earth, and even in the inanimate objects, so-called. But life is everywhere, even in these inanimate objects. It took a force, a power, an intelligence to make the earth, to make the sun, the skies, the moon, the stars, to make the blue sky above and the fleecy white clouds which float across the sky. It took intelligence and power and energy to plant the seeds in the ground, to see the growing things come forth. It even took power and energy to form the stones which we see, which seem to have no life at all, but which in fact have sensitivity. This has been proven by scientists. They have taken delicate machinery. They have taken tests, made graphs on plants, on minerals, on every form of life. And they have found that these have living intelligence. They have feeling. The one thing we must remember is that God is, that there is no such thing as death. What we call death is just the same as our sleep, because God is all there is. He is eternal. We cannot speak out of both sides of our mouth and say that God is eternal and then have something which changes with past, which passes away for good. We may change the garment which we wear, but that eternal spirit, that eternal consciousness, that eternal life which is within us is God himself. And that spirit, that eternal glory never changes. That eternal intelligence never changes. It will live always and forever. And as I have explained it to you before, Even when you attain the realization of your true sonship, your oneness with God, this doesn't mean that you become a nothing. It means that for the first time, you have realized who and what you are, that you are this eternal spirit, this eternal life, and that there is nothing in all of this universe and beyond except that one life manifesting. It is God's waking and sleeping periods. And during the time that he rests, does he not need it, the same as we? Because we are himself, he is us. Because God created this world and nothing was created except by him. So where is he not? We have given lip service. We have professed to be Christians. And we have not understood the truth of our own being and what the responsibility is that we have as the disciples of the living Christ. And that Christ lives today in the hearts and the consciousness of every man, just as he did 2,000 years ago, just as he did since the beginning of time, because he was that first one, that first eternal consciousness, that first expression which came forth from the bosom of God. That is his first and only begotten Son. And that word or spirit took form or flesh and dwells in the flesh of every man, not just one. Your Christhood is within you now, if you will but lay hold of it. How perfect, how wonderful it is to have this realization and this hope within ourselves that if truly we will pick up our cross, which means this body which we have, and dedicate the life which he has given to us and which is he himself within us, to him totally, that every good thing will happen. We're not reaching out for total peace and total harmony to the exclusion of these forces of good and of evil. We're not going to sit in a nice, quiet rocking chair after we have the realization of our Christhood and have nothing happen but all of the good things of life. This world is a world of duality, and as long as we stay in it in a human form, we're going to continue to meet this pairs of opposites, the so-called evil and good, the heat and the cold, the light and the darkness, the joy, the suffering, the tears, the laughter. This is life, and it's God's life. But what we are striving for is peace and harmony in the midst of it, because it is the man and the woman, the soul of God, who can stand in the midst of the greatest battle in the world. And believe me, we are in one now. And rise above these things. Gird himself with the power and the armor of God. And rise above these things. And find that peace and that harmony within himself. What a tremendous thing this is. If we are able to do this, we become masters of ourselves. Remember that Christ himself said that the disciple cannot become greater than the master, because when the master becomes the master, he has his total union with God. And there is no greater thing. But he also said that the disciple can become as great as the master. He didn't say, I'm the only one. All of these works that I do, ye may do also. And even greater works than these that I do, ye may do, said the Christ. I believe what my Christ said. To me, it's not just lip service. He gave me a promise that if I would follow him, emulate him in every detail, and that is really something to do, even to the death of the cross. It means the death of the human ego, the physical, worldly sense within us. It doesn't mean that the body itself is going to die eternally. You go through this thing. And then you have the state of resurrection. I tell you this with full knowledge and impunity because I have experienced it myself, whether you believe it or not. I know that this is true. And I have found that even though, like the river, I went into the ocean of God and became a wave, a part of that ocean, still, always, and eternally, I am the same as the river running toward the ocean, reaching out for it. Because although I have found the realization of my oneness with God, still, as long as I'm in a human body, I am the tiniest child he has.
and I am his servant, his devotee. And it is my great privilege to be this. I want no name, no fame, no glory for myself. Only for him who created me and you and everything there is. I want that for you. I want only to serve him without thought of myself. In total remembrance of God comes total forgetfulness of self. And this is such a tremendous statement. And you don't give up anything except those things which have been giving you difficulty. Rather, you have the most exciting, the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most miraculous life that you can possibly imagine. Every moment of your life is a miracle. And you walk about seeing in awe and wonder the things for which you have to be thankful each moment of your life. I thank God for every blow that I have ever received. I thank God for the scars I have on my body and in my body. These are blessed scars because they brought me to my realization of him. There are people who never want to get hurt. They will avoid even an exciting, wonderful experience because they're afraid to get out in the middle of the battlefield and get hurt. They haven't lived. They are the living dead. What difference does it make if you get hurt a little? You can always bind up your wounds. What difference does it make if you lose all of the things that you have in the world? If you have the glory and the richness of your eternal oneness with God? Because when you have that, you have the power within you to manifest anything you need at will. Christ said so. I didn't. I ask you to believe him, to realize who and what he was. There was a story told in India once about a Maharani, and she was a very good and charitable woman. She was also, being a Maharani, very wealthy. And so she gained religious merit by giving alms to the poor. There was one special feast day to the Lord Sarnath. They have different gods over there who are not gods in the sense that we think they're heretics and infidels, but they are special manifestations of God, and they use these as stepping stones, always with their attention on the one Father God, as helps in their realization of God. And so they were worshiping. This was a worship day for the Lord Sun. So this Maharani had herself weighed, and so she gave an equal amount, crores of rupees, an exact measure for her own weight, and distributed all these alms to the poor. Well, there was great rejoicing, and naturally she was very highly respected, very highly thought of for her great charity. And her son was so proud of her charity and the fact that she was such a good woman that he remitted all the taxes for the poor people. And so they had an overabundance of things to be thankful for. But the woman became quite imbued with the idea of the fact that she was so charitable, so good, so great. So the Lord knew that this was so, and he appeared to her in a dream, and he instructed her to search for a certain poor woman who came to the temple and to have her give her the religious merit that this poor woman had earned. So when she got up the next morning, she thought of her dream. And she thought, I can have anything I want. I shall give her anything in the worldly sense for the merit that she has attained in God. So she sent the servants out and asked them to find this poor woman. They went out and they found her and they brought her before the Rani. And she said, the Lord appeared to me in a dream and told me that I should call you before me and offer you reward for your merits. The woman said, no, I cannot accept anything for him. She said, I will give you anything you ask. I will give you gold. I will give you a place to live. I will give you fancy clothes. I will give you food. Anything you ask. Here this poor woman said, no, I do not wish to give up my spiritual merit. So the Rani said, why is this? She said, I have wandered for months on foot since I left home. visiting spiritual temples, worshiping God everywhere. Yesterday, she said, I came to this place. At last, it has been my destination because it is such a holy place and I wish to worship here. So yesterday for me was a day of fast. This morning, she said, I was given a small piece of unsalted bread. She said, I gave the first half to the Lord. Then I gave one half of what was remaining to a poor person, and I myself broke my fast with the remaining piece. She said, I have very little religious merit, and I choose to keep that. She said, all of the riches in the world will not bring you the wealth of the Spirit. None of it. She said, I could have everything, but if I have not my own soul, the knowledge of God within myself, I am as a pauper and a beggar. You have much in the way of worldly wealth, she said. But I would not trade places with you, because the wealth of the love of God and His power, which I feel within myself, is greater than any riches which you can give me or which I can get anywhere. And so it is. Because you see, the realization of your oneness with God who dwells within you is the key to the miracle. It opens the door of heaven within yourself so that you might go in and speak with Him and sup with Him and feel the glory, the comfort, the all-overpowering love of God within yourself. And that one that you seek is not a stranger. He is your very self, your real self, not this delusive self, this little self that flits back and forth like a will-o'-the-wisp, like a leaf floating in the breeze. That is not the self, but this great self that has the power, the intelligence, the love, the everything to give you the true meaning of life in all of its wonder, its beauty, and its glory. But from this day forward, let us give thanks to God for not just one thing, but all things which come to us, even that which is difficult, because it is these things which test us and temper us and make us strong, and they fill us eventually with this light, this glory of God which shines forth from us toward the whole world. We do not go wanting, because the love that comes to us as a result of the love of God that we put forth is beyond my power to describe to you. I am grateful for everyone whom God has sent across my path. I am grateful for every experience. I am grateful even for the tremendous trial of the crucifixion which I experienced in the mystical and in the physical and mental sense. Because when you get the things of the Spirit, you must pay a price for them. And you pay a price in the humanness of yourself on whatever level it happens to be. It is a pearl of great price, which means the total surrender of your little self, which thinks it is God, in order that you may find your true self, the living God, within you. Thank you. Give thanks for all things, and you will know the peace which passeth all human understanding, right in the midst of that. Your life will be fulfilled. It will be wonderful. It will be joyous. It will be glorious. And as you yourself receive and become that light, you will become a light on a hilltop to light the way of many for the Lord. I hope that this will truly be a wonderful Thanksgiving for you. In the full and true meaning of the word, I wish all of God's good things for you. His love, His intelligence, His power, every good thing which helps you to know who and what you are, so that you may live life in all of its fullness. Now let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
Lord, Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Downstairs, and Kathy would like all of us to go down, and they're going to show us a few of the things that they have been learning. It won't take long.